So you have the Subhadana guide with him. See, whatever I was talking in the morning, I just now saw that in Subhadana guide also they are taken out from Chakravarti Thakur's purport and beautifully given in page number 60, if you see. See, Tavat Kurumani Karvita, I showed you that Chakravarti Thakur's commentary in the morning, no? That is beautifully given here in 60. One should continue Vedic rituals until one is detached from sense gratification and develops faith for hearing and chanting. Then Bharata is fully qualified for pure devotion. Then why is he doing sacrifice? The question is asked. And then his consciousness in sacrifices. How was Bharata doing? All that is explained. The oblations to different demigods were offered as different limbs of Lord Vasudeva. And the results of the sacrifices as an offering to Lord Vasudeva. And Bharata was not the enjoyer of the sacrifice, because he had no desires to get any benediction from demigods. And Bharata was not the performer of the sacrifice, because he did it through his representatives like Advaryu priest, because he did not have faith in those actions. Because his faith was in Krishna only. Correct, no? So, but it was done. See, these are called formalities. Correct, no? There are certain formalities to be fulfilled, like that he did, without giving his heart. See, sometimes we people, we give our heart to some activity and we do certain things as a formality. Correct, no? So, for him, the performance of Vedic sacrifices were like a formality, but his heart was in Shravanam and Kirtanam. Correct, no? In hearing and chanting of the glories of the Lord. So I gave the example of Prabhupada doing yajna in opening of the Krishna Balaram temple, isn't it? So, Bharata's bhakti was pure. Worshipping each demigod independently destroys the ananyata or exclusive bhakti. But worshipping them as limbs of the Lord does not. Therefore his bhakti was not covered. So his bhakti remained pure. So now I'll ask you a question. You have to, without seeing the book, you have to answer, okay? Why was Bharat Maharaj not the enjoyer of these sacrifices? Yes. No. You have to answer only this question. Other things also I said. Why is Bharat Maharaj not the enjoyer of the sacrifice? He is Yajaman, no? Why is he not the enjoyer? Yes?
Because, as said even in the Vishnu Sahasranama, that Vishnu is Yajna Bhu.
Okay. He knew that?
He knew it. He was completely okay. In consciousness.
That is also correct. But one particular answer I am looking for. Yes, Prabhu? Yes.
Yes, sir.
One Hari Bol for that answer. Because he didn't have any expectation from the demigods, because he had no material desires. Generally, demigods don't give you liberation. They clearly told Muchukunda. Muchukunda, Rite Kaivalyam, they told him. Accept moksha, ask anything. Anything within this world only. And this fellow had no desire for anything within the world. That means, he did yajna, but he did not expect anything from demigods. So therefore, he didn't become the enjoyer of the sacrifice. Lord is the yajna book. Like he was telling that point. Then Bharat was not the performer of sacrifice. Why? Who can say? Why is not performer? There are many hands up. And yes, behind Prabhu. Yes, sir.
Because he himself not perform.
Who performed?
The priest.
What is the name of the priest given? Advaryu priest. So that means they were engaged for doing sacrifice. So he didn't do directly. So he involved them. And then he completed it as a formality, as a ritual. He did not wholeheartedly engage into it. Because it was done for as a social sentiment, for the public's happiness it should be done. So he did that, like that he says. Yeah. And then Bharata's ananyata in serving Lord Vishnu, there was no bhanga in that. Why? Who has an answer? Yes, sir. Milind Prabhu. Give the mic.
Because whenever oblations were offered to demigods, he was meditating that it was offered to some limb of the Lord.
Because you all have studied the second canto now, so you all know. Now I'll ask you which limb belongs to this thing. Okay, who are the presiding deities of the nose? Of the ears? of the eyes, of the mouth, of the tongue, of the hands, of the genitals, the reproduction organ, Brahma. Of the rectum. So like this, they are all presiding deities, correct? No? So you all know that. So whenever they offered any ahuti, so he didn't have to think of those demigods at all. He thought of them as limbs of the Lord's body. Isn't it? So it's a very proper consciousness. So his ananyata was not disturbed. No, that is not the reason which is given. No, although they are Lord's servants, he was having full faith. If you water the root of the tree, you don't need to water the other parts of the tree. So it was, he didn't consider it his duty that he has to perform. He did it only for one reason. I already told you, it's given purpose purport. Generation after generation it has been coming as a kind of, what do you call it? A family tradition. That's one reason explained. Another reason explained, the people in general follow dharma, artha, kama, moksha. They go through that route. And if devatas are not worshipped, they will get bewildered. So that is kept. Because they don't have the realization that Vishnu is the Yajna book. If he is satisfied, we don't have to separately give. So because of that only he did. He didn't consider that, you know, because you know demigods are also limbs of the parts of the body of the Lord, better do for them also, we should not miss out. He didn't think like that. Because he was convinced that if you give to Lord Vasudeva, everybody gets it. He was fully convinced. Therefore, he had ananya bhakti. Yeah. Therefore, I gave you the example. Sometimes sacrifice done at home, you have to, for sentiments, for keeping sentiments, you do like that. Yeah. So, therefore, it is said here. Because he didn't have, he was not attached to sense gratification, so he didn't have to do yajna. So now all of you have thoroughly understood this section. Beautiful. So now we can see the themes. What is there? 1 to 7 themes. See, this is chapter 7, no? Activities of Bharata. See, read the themes.
No one should remain unemployed or unoccupied.
Oh, that we will need Prabhupada's purport. The fourth verse, he says. So 5, 7, 4, you can take it. So you can, you read the verse 1 translation. We'll go from 1 to 4, we will go. Translations, quickly.
Translation. Sukhdev Goswami continued speaking to Maharaj Parikshit. My dear King, Bharat Maharaj was a topmost devotee. Following the orders of his father, who had already decided to install him on the throne, he began to rule earth accordingly. When Bharat Maharaj ruled the entire globe, he followed the orders of his father and married Panchajani, the daughter of Vishwarup.
And then the next verse, we already discussed it, all the children born to him after marriage. And the third verse talks about Ajanabha Varsha became Bharat Varsha after he became a king. And the fourth verse says that he was very learned, experienced king, perfectly ruled the citizens. He himself was engaged in his own respective duties and was as affectionate to the citizens as his father and grandfather had been. Who is his grandfather? Navi. And father? Rishabhadev. How they were affectionate to the citizens? He was also affectionate in a similar way. And he kept them also engaged in their occupational duties. See, he engaged the praja in their occupational duty, and he himself also had duties to do, which he also did. I heard in the Brahma Vimohan Leela, Brahma delegated all the services to other living entities and he had no service to do. Therefore, he got into Vimohan Leela. That's one of the commentaries Chakravarti Thakur gives. So don't only delegate service to others, you also take up some service. So this is a good warning for all the leaders. Correct, no? They should do their duty, we should do our duty also. So, and then the purport Prabhupada says, in the middle, no one should remain unemployed. or unoccupied in any way. Everyone must work as Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, he says. And then Prabhupada says, kings were very affectionate towards citizens. They strictly kept them engaged. See, although formally the government was a monarchy, all the kings were very affectionate towards citizens and they strictly kept them engaged in their respective duties. This is one sign of affection. You understand, no? One of the signs of affection is to make sure that the citizens are properly engaged. Sometimes people think affection means pampering, people think. That means you tell a person, don't do anything, be lazy, you know, be happy. That's not actually considered affection, because such false affection will make them lazy and crazy and go away. No? But you have to engage them according to their bent of mind, their inclination to be a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. They have to be given engagement. So that is the heading, you see, first one, theme. Okay, what will happen if somebody is unoccupied? See, unoccupied means he has free time. Idle man's mind is a devil's workshop. Elsewhere in another purport, Prabhupada said, in villages also, if people are free, then naturally they are likely to misuse the time. By what, in that conversation we read, Prabhupada's conversation, one conversation, Prabhupada says, when the tractors came, what happened? Immediately the farmers became, not only tractors, harvesters also. Nowadays the harvester machine is also there, which throws the seeds, you know. So you don't have to go throw the seeds. And nowadays they go in helicopter and throw the seeds all over the field. You can throw, you know, you move it like this, in this way, and you can throw it. Hundreds of acres, you can do like that. And also there are harvesters, means fossil you cut, no? Later on. For that also machine is available. Now you have tractor for ploughing also. So when all these things came, farmers became jobless. I mean, they don't have any work to do. One tractor does the work of 100 farmers. Then the farmers play cards. Then the farmers drink liquor, deshi. You know, deshi liquor they drink, they make also. Which is more harmful than regular liquor also. So they drink and then they go to the cinema theatres. And because they are shudras, they will naturally try to pollute other women other than their wives also, because their minds are empty, they have no engagement, they will do that also. And some fellows will do political game. He will want to, you know, throw away the panchayat head and he will want to become panchayat head. Because they have time now for doing politics. And then they will go for canvassing for vote. You understand, these kind of things they will do. So giving free time to farmers is a very dangerous thing. You can see many mandapams and all, farmers are sitting and playing cards. You've seen that? You'll see that. And they smoke bidi, you know, they take tobacco, they are spitting, you can see that. Because they have ample of time. Otherwise they are supposed to work hard in the field. Now one more person who works in the field for ploughing, who is it? Bull. Now where will the bull go? Slaughterhouse. See? Bulls are sent to slaughterhouse. And the men are becoming irreligious because of, in want of engagement. So this is what the modern day, you know, introduction of the mechanization has done, a very great disservice, like the Prabhupada says in one of the conversations. And of course, the bull is sent to the slaughterhouse, and cow also, then they send bull to slaughterhouse, then they become extremely calculative of money. They think, "Arey, if you make tobacco, you get 20 lakh per year. If you make sugar cane, you get 10 lakh per year. These are called cash crops. And if you make rice, you get only 5 lakh. So everybody wants to go for cash crop, making money. So when money making becomes the main business, they don't have respect for the mother cow. They think, now this cow doesn't give milk, send her to slaughterhouse. Till now she was giving milk. If it doesn't give milk, send her like that. So Prabhupada, when he was in West, he was telling, you guys are killing your mother and father. And they were shocked. What are you saying? Yes, cow is the mother, bull is the father. You are killing them. So people become very money-minded. They become extremely calculative. See, when you were a small child, your mother and father took care of you, right? And then when they become 60, 70, now they cannot go to company job or anymore. Don't you maintain them? Now they cannot work. Do you say that because they cannot work, throw them out? Is it? That's what they are doing, if you see. Because that's due to money focus. No character at all. So like the Prabhupada wants. So in this way, when men become unemployed and unoccupied, it's a very great danger. Prabhupada says, What is it? What is begari? Begari means joblessness. Begari, begar, huh? Unemployment. Huh? So begari is a what is the meaning of that? Correct. Bekar is a begari acha hai. What is the meaning of that? That means a person, instead of being jobless, Prabhupada says a man can go to a shop and say, sir, I don't want to be jobless, so give me a job, don't give me any salary. Just to take care of my food, that's all. Two times, morning, evening, give me food and I'll work for your shop. And Prabhupada says, if you work faithfully, after 3 months he will give you salary. You will see that because this is a good man, he's working hard. So you will find those people who say, I'm jobless, they are people who don't want to work hard actually. People who want to work, you go to any hotel and say, I'll be a waiter, I'll clean, immediately some job is available, Prabhupada says like that, when one who is ready to work. So in India, this is the policy, Prabhupada says, begar is a begar echa, which means even if you don't get salary also, it's better to work, because if you don't work with your senses, you are likely to misuse the senses. Nahi kashchikshanamapi jatu tishthatya karma krit karyate shabashak karma sarva prakriti jair gunai. Krishna says, you know, nahi kashchikshanamapi, one moment also you cannot be without work, he says. Because why? If you become a akarmakrit, if you don't do any work, your mind will trouble you, senses will trouble you, three gunas will make you a puppet in their hands, you will become a dancing dog by the three gunas. Therefore you find people, so in Bhagavad Gita you will find Lord Krishna condemns living a life without work. At the same time, he says you have to do work which will be offered to Lord Vishnu. Yajnyartat karmanaha anyatra lokoyam karma bandhana, he says. So one has to work. Prabhupada, even brahmacharis and sannyasis, Prabhupada says, in one of the purports, he says, ISKCON is not a free hotel. Prabhupada writes like that, and he says, morning to night, they have to have some activity. Even 6.1 verse, what it says? Please repeat this. Anashita karma phalam karyam karma karoti yaha sasanyasi cha yogi cha nani ragnirna chakriyaha. That is also about work. What it says, a sannyasi is not one who does not lit fire and who does not work. Who does not do work. No, he is not a sannyasi, he says. Which means sannyasi should work, he says. So, this is an amazing verse, because many people have a notion that when one one becomes renounced, then one should give up work. Karma sannyasis give up work and they go to Himalayas. And in want of activity, they come back and do social service. And sometimes they maintain a poultry farm also. You know, they do social service, such kind of activities they do. Whereas devotees of the Lord, they dovetail their senses in Lord's service, like we say, Rishikena, Rishikesha Sevana. So, you can imagine what to speak of the common people. We should never encourage anyone to give up work and become a lazy bum. On the other hand, Prabhupada took lazy bums and made them work hard. Prabhupada took hippies who were not doing any work. They were just hanging around, eating, sleeping, drinking, and Prabhupada made them work very hard and, you know, made them very constructive work he gave them, expanding a very wonderful spiritual society. So that's the first point. No one should remain unemployed or unoccupied. That's the point. Otherwise, mind will, you know, occupy them in nefarious activities. That's the first thing. Next one, and read the second thing.
Understanding role of Supreme Lord and demigods in Yajna.
Yeah, that we have completed elaborately, morning and now also. And then next one, third one.
Peace of mind is obtainable only when one nullifies material desires.
Okay, let us see what is there in 11. Okay, no. From 8 onwards we have to start now. Bharat Maharaj's actual pastime is starting. Read the 8th one.
Destiny fixed the time for Maharaj Bharata's enjoyment of material opulence at 1,000 times 10,000 years. When that period was finished, he retired from family life and divided the wealth he had received from his forefathers among his sons. He left his paternal home the reservoir of all opulence, and started for Pulashram, which is situated in Haridwar. The Shaligram Shilas are obtainable there.
Yeah. So, it's a long life Bharata has lived with great material opulences. And that period was finished, he took retirement from the family and gave his wealth to his sons. And then he's going to Pulahashram now, to the forest. From now on, his life in the forest is beautifully explained. Let us recite the 9th verse. Yatra vava bhagavan hariradyapi tatratyanam nijajananam vatsalyena sannidhapyata iccharupena. I read it, why? Because there are some important words in this. He's saying Bhagavan Harir. He's saying even today Lord Bhagavan Hari gives darshan there. He went to that place. Nija jananam vatsalyena. Out of vatsalya for his own devotees, nija jananam means his own devotees. The Supreme Lord becomes visible in that place. Read the translation.
At Pulashram, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari, out of his transcendental affection for his devotee, becomes visible to his devotee, satisfying his devotee's desires.
Yeah, next. 10th one.
In Pulashram is the Gandaki River, which is the best of all rivers. The Shaligram Shila, the marble pebbles, purify all those places. On each and every marble pebble, up and down, circles like navels are visible.
Yeah, and then those Shaligram Shilas are not collected by people, but they are given by saintly people. If some saint gives to another man a Shaligram Shila, then one can worship. 11th one.
In the gardens of Pulashram, Maharaj Bharat lived alone and collected variety of flowers, twigs and tulsi leaves.
Earlier he was living in the midst of the palace, surrounded by hundreds and thousands of people. Running a worldwide management. Now he is alone, living in the forest with a desire to perfect his life. Yeah, go ahead.
He also collected the water of Gandaki River as well as various roots, fruits and bulbs. With this, he offered food to Supreme Personality of Godhead Vasudev, and worshipping him, he remained satisfied. In this way, his heart was completely uncontaminated and he did not have the least desire for material enjoyment. All material desires vanished. In this steady position, he felt full satisfaction and was situated in devotional service.
Yeah. Read the purport. Nice purport purposes.
Everyone is searching after peace of mind. This is obtainable only when one is completely freed from desire for material sense gratification and is engaged in the devotional service of Lord. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam Yome Bhaktya Prayachati. Worship of Lord is not at all expensive. One can offer the Lord a leaf, a flower, a little fruit and some water. The Supreme Lord accepts this offering when they are offered with love and devotion. In this way, one can become freed from material desires. As long as one maintains material desires, he cannot be happy. As soon as one engages in devotional service of Lord, his mind is purified of all material desires. Then one becomes fully satisfied. Savai pumsam paro dharma yato bhakti radokshaje ahetu ki apratihata.
Okay, and it goes on like that. So what is the cause of our suffering, Prabhupada says here? Yeah? See, here he says, as long as one maintains material desires, what offense it is, maintaining material desires? 10th offense. See, having material desire is not condemned, but maintaining them. See, there is a difference between the two. If somebody has material desire and they are suffering already, they come to devotional service and they learn, and then they quickly understand that I should give up all my material aspirations and everything. So, at that time, if a person is endeavoring to rise above material desires and awaken love for Krishna, that's the right platform. But if somebody is growing material desires or maintaining the old ones, then it becomes an offense. Correct, no? Like you take a brick and keep in the hand like this. You keep the hand straight. Initially it looks very light, you know. Now you hold it for 1 minute, 2 minute, 3 minute. What happens? It starts paining here. You will see that. You can't. Middle desert is also like that. As soon as the middle desert comes in, it appears very light and very cool, very nice. But then you keep holding it, it gets heavier and heavier and heavier. Very burdensome, painful it becomes. Actually, material desire means it is tinged with three gunas. That's the main reason. It is tinged with especially rajaguna, tamaguna. And those desires don't keep quiet in our mind. They also keep biting us like mosquitoes. These material desires, they keep hunting, hunting a person. They keep pushing, rajaguna keeps pushing inside. So he was a king. Naturally, he must have been surrounded by so much, servants and wealth and queens and what not. But when he has come to forest now, what he did, you see? You know, he lived in a, like we say, an Aratir Jana Samsadi. He lived alone in the forest without any disturbance. And he collected flowers and also he collected Gandaki water, Ganga waters. And he collected some fruits and roots and everything. And the most important thing is he offered food to Lord Vasudeva. You see? And simply he was satisfied in devotional service. So if somebody is satisfied in devotional service, then they will be able to rise above material enjoyment. His heart became completely uncontaminated. And he gave up material desires. So which is a good news for all of us, we can gradually give up desires for material enjoyment. If we focus on devotional service, very attentively, over a period of time. But if you are mischievous, and we again and again make a plan and a program for material expansion, material desire expansion, then that will keep expanding. In this world, you will find one person comes with one material desire, then that multiplies also. It's like the stars in the sky, innumerable desires multiply over a period of time. One comes with one desire and it multiplies. But it is possible, like Krishna says, what is that verse? Sa nishtayena yoktavyo yogo anirvinna chetasa. In that he says, sankalpa prabhavan kaman styaktva sarvan asheshataha. He says, all material desires should be given up. Same thing we say in Vaishnava language. Anya bilashita? That means don't maintain any other desire besides serving the Lord. Can you give example who maintained a desire other than serving the Lord? One example is our Satrajit having desire for the Shyamantaka jewel. That attachment to that jewel killed him. Eventually he was killed by Shatrudhanva. Attachment to Pururava's attachment to Urvashi made him thoroughly frustrated. Now Yayati Maharaja's attachment to Devayani, after 1,000 years of living with her, completely frustrated him. He said, Evam Varsha Sahastrani, Manashashtair Manasukham, he says, you know, with my mind and five senses I try to enjoy, you know, material enjoyment. He says, it is all only Manasukham. What is Manasukham? Manasijam. Who says Manasijam? Anybody knows? Kanduti one Manasijam Vishaheta Dhiraha. It's all mental concoction, he says. So Prahlad says that. Similarly, he also said that, Dayati said, these are simply mental concoction. He said, Vidadanopi Natrapyat Sarubhama Kadendriya. He says, even after enjoying, I didn't get any satisfaction, he says. See, there is one important verse in Bhagavatam which says, great souls have declared that material enjoyment cannot make you happy. You should have trust in their words and give up material enjoyment and not wait and hope that I will experience it and then give it up. Because great souls are more intelligent than us. So if you put faith in their words, you will be saved. Otherwise, we still have hopes. So therefore, you will find, when we take first Diksha, you will see we go like this in spiritual life, and then we again look back. You have seen that? Look back means what? For material desires, sense gratification. Then we are given Brahman Diksha. You know, one more. Now we are supposed to be more enlightened. Supposed to be at least. Correct, no? Then we take Brahman Diksha, then you again look back. Still, there is a tendency to look back still, in that level also. Then sometimes if you are a brahmachari in the ashram, you are given saffron devotee. After saffron, you know, one of the sannyasis was speaking, he said, saffron means you are, it's like putting a man in fire. Saffron is like fire color. That means all their material is supposed to be burned away. You have nothing to do in this material world. All you want to do is only service to Lord Vasudeva. That's all. So, but even after, when people take saffron, they are so serious. My Lord, sometimes I have given lectures to those people who take saffron. They are like, as if they are sannyasis already. But then after 2, 3, 4 years of saffron, again there is a tendency to look back. Again. A person thinks, I am not doing anything, I am only thinking in mind. But the problem is, you are where your mind is. Isn't it? So if they think about it, then there is a tendency to physically also go back. Therefore, after some time, one is given danda now. And danda, you carry 3 sticks. Correct, no? What does the 3 stick represent? Body, mind, words. Correct, no? He was telling, Jananda Goswami Maharaj was telling, when you become a sannyasi, you get a BMW. He was telling. All people are wondering, what is it? You get a BMW car? They were thinking, he said, body, mind, words. He was telling. When you are carrying it with you, you touch the ground and you bow down. You remember that I am supposed to give all my body, mind, words. Every time you see the stick, you remember, body, mind, word, body, mind, word. Kaya, vacha, manasa. Kayena, vacha, manasa, indriya, va, buddhi, atmana, va, prakriti, svabhava, karomi, yadya, chakalam, parasmai. So we remind ourselves. Of course, after that, it is expected that you don't look back, you don't turn back. So in this way, one is supposed. Why these things are all kept? First we have yellow brigade, then white brigade, then we have saffron brigade, then we have danda brigade. Correct, na? Why all this is kept? Gradually to increase detachment from material desires and increase attachment to Krishna's lotus feet. Correct, na? Why is he going to forest? The purpose is so that he can, you know, give up all the worldly responsibilities, activities, and then fully focus on the Lord. You see? So, read the first theme. Third one.
Peace of mind is obtainable only when one nullifies material desires.
Yeah. Morning I showed you one sloka, I remember. Srimad Bhagavatam Paramahamsyam Puranamamalam Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam. Correct? Second line? Yasmin paramahamsam ekamamalam jnanam param giyate tadvijnana tatra tatra jnana viraga bhakti sahitam. So three things Bhagavatam gives. Tatra jnana viraga bhakti sahitam. It gives you jnana, it gives you vairagya, it gives you bhakti. All three are there in Bhagavatam. No? Like past times, like Rishabhadev. Past times like Bharat Maharaj, they teach us vairagya also. Yeah? Vairagya from the material desires. But it is not shushka vairagya. It is not dry vairagya. Vairagya has a double meaning. One vairagya is renouncing the worldly material desires and all. Yeah? Another vairagya means vishesha raga, attachment to Krishna. So, virakti or vairagya has one meaning of detachment from material desires and attachment to Krishna. That is Vishesha Raga. He says that. So, here is a clue given how one can become peaceful. A person who keeps some material desires in the mind, they are always haunting him like a ghost. He cannot be peaceful. See, Dhruva Maharaj had a material desire. He went to forest and after meeting Lord Vishnu, he nullified it. After meeting Guru and meeting Vishnu, he nullified it. Otherwise, the material desires keep haunting. Can you give some examples of people in Bhagavatam who struggled a lot with material desires? Yes? Puru already I told. Pururava and Udruva I have already told. Other than that you have to give. Yayati also I told. Hiranyakashipu is saying, oh, his desires are too much. Too big desires. Yeah? He's saying Ajamil is telling. Yeah. So, yeah? Subramani is a good example because Subramani saw some two fishes mating and his heart had avidya, ignorance. So that outside inside match happened. Actually, we also have sense objects outside and material desires inside. They both match and they cause agitation. Who? Daksha also, yeah. Yes. So you can give, otherwise, why so many characters are spoken in Bhagavatam, all these things. So, you can see the results of, See, morning I told you how grihasthas can also have problems with the mind. I told some examples, you remember? Some examples I told you. When they go to shopping, and they go with 2,000, they spend end up spending 5,000. Like that I told. One important thing I forgot to tell you in the morning. Their mind makes them postpone spiritual life. That's called snooze mode. Snooze mode. So who was always on snooze mode? Kailash. Correct. Yeah. So therefore the word is said Shubhasya Shigram. That's for spiritual life. Should be taken up very seriously, quickly. So because the mind can trick them. But somebody can our Bharat Maharaj was a king, and king has one specific quality called Kshatriya. Kshat means what? To protect. So he has a tendency to protect. Therefore, when he went to forest, he developed the desire to protect a deer. Correct, no? So, but the deer became his enemy to spiritual life, which we will study now subsequently. So, similarly, a grihastha man or a woman, it is said that they have to take care of all creatures as if they are his own children. Their own children. You take care of, cow or bull or horse or dog or, any creature. One has to provide them some food and care for them like one's own children. But at the same time, one should not become attached to them. Therefore, you find some people become attached to a pussy cat or attached to a dog, puppy dog. So once His Holiness Lokanath Maharaj was telling, he was in some ocean beach, devotees were doing Harinam Sankirtan. One young girl came running in the ocean beach, middle of it, and she was asking. She came to Maharaj, straight to Maharaj, and asked, "My dog, did you see my dog?" He was crying. And Maharaj was like shocked in a moment. So she literally had tears in her eyes. "Did you see my dog?" And Maharaj said, I didn't find it. He said, and then she went ahead. And Maharaj said, "My Lord, seeing her crying, I remembered the gopis of Vrindavan searching for Krishna when Krishna left the dancing arena." And because they left Krishna left dancing arena and they all sang Gopi Gitam, no? So Maharaj said, "I wish I can cry for Krishna like this. She is crying for a dog like this. I should cry for God like this." So that was a wonderful, brilliant realization. Correct, no? So because she had become attached to the puppy dog. So she is able to cry for the puppy dog because she must have invested a lot of affection and caressing the dog, bathing the dog, dressing the dog, walking the dog with a leash. When the dog passes stool, she must have carried a tin also, take the stool. So anybody faithfully serves something, you develop attachment. Like mother serves a child very attentively, she develops attachment. Similarly, you serve a deity at home. If somebody is bathing a deity, dressing the deity, feeding the deity, celebrating festivals for the deity. I showed you that day. I'll show you if you have not seen. See, this is one deity in Pakistan. I showed you this. Correct? How beautiful, no? See, this is one Mataji. In her home, she is decorating deity so beautifully. She is a devotee. This is her deity called Radha Gopinath. See? Radharani, how decorated. Amazing, no? And she puts up festival and everything. See here. This is Radha Gopinath. See? How I came to know, one grihastha and Pune, they are hearing her lecture and all, and being in touch, they gave me these photos. I thought, see, she has put this also. Yeah, for Julian sitting with. Amazing, huh? There is the long jata. Boga. This also. This is that devotee. See, they're doing Abhishek, flower Abhishek. So imagine if somebody does like this, who will not develop attachment, isn't it? You lovingly serve the deities. Yeah, I think they have Jagannath also, I think. Jagannath Brother Subhadra also. Yeah. So it's very sweet, no? See, it looks very personal, huh? Where is the Lord? What is this? Acha, hand is there, okay. Gaurnita is. This is another place. So, that's what I was telling. If somebody serves the Lord very faithfully, they will develop attachment to the deities, which is very wonderful, favorable attachment. That's the way to overcome material desires. You overcame material desires. And Shushka Vairagya means you artificially give up, which is impossible actually. It's like creating vacuum in a bulb. It's impossible. The bulb will explode if you try to create too much vacuum. So we have to fill up the bulb with inert gases. Then we can. So that's why he's saying peace of mind is obtainable only when one nullifies material desires. Anya bilashita shunyam. So when karma, jnana, yoga tendencies are curbed and we only want to do ananya bhakti, then only we can experience peace of mind and happiness. What is that verse? Na shochiti na kankshati verse. How it begins? Brahma Bhuta Prasanna Atma Na Shochati Na Kangshati. That means finished. Samasarvesha Bhutishu. Mad Bhaktir, from there the real bhakti begins. Shuddha Bhakti begins from there. Labhate Param. Param Bhakti starts from there. That means that verse talks about 0-0. Right now we are in which place? We are in positive axis or negative axis? Right now we are in negative axis. That verse talks about 0-0. And Mad Bhakti Labhate Param means you go to the positive axis. You go to spiritual desires you develop. From 0-0 onwards, spiritual desires develop beyond that. Of course, even in our negative situation also we can develop some spiritual desires and try to do something. So go to the next one. 12.
The most exalted devotee, Maharaj Bharat, in this way engage constantly in the devotional service of the Lord. Naturally, his love for Vasudev, Krishna, increased more and more and melted his heart. Consequently, he gradually lost all attachment for regulative duties. The hairs of his body stood on end and all the ecstatic bodily symptoms were manifest. Tears flowed from his eyes, so much so that he could not see anything. Thus, he constantly meditated on the reddish lotus feet of Lord. At that time, his heart was like a lake, was filled with water of ecstatic love. When his mind was immersed in that lake, he even forgot the regulative service to the Lord.
Yeah, that means Vaidhi Bhakti, he transcended Vaidhi Bhakti. He went to the Raganuga stage now. I read in one of the commentaries says, when you put fire to the vessel where you want to cook sabji, the fire heats the vessel, it heats the sabji, and anyone who goes near it, that person also feels the heat. Correct? Now when you are cooking in a furnace, chula or something like that. So it heats the vessel also, it heats the sabji also, it heats the person also who goes near. Similarly, he says, bhakti gives joy to Lord, joy to devotee and to onlookers also. Like that he says. This is one of the commentaries I heard. He says, it gives joy to Lord, joy to devotee and joy to all the onlookers. So the bhakti is very beautiful. It makes the devotee very beautiful. What is that verse? Prinanam sarva jagatam. Prinanam sarva jagatam anuraktata sadguna sadguna sukapradatvam. That's the fourth quality. Four qualities are said when a devotee practices devotion service. First is said, prinanam sarva jagatam. All the people in the world become attracted by the devotee. And then sarva jagatam anuraktata. He is also attached to all the living entities and he serves the living beings. It's mutual. And thirdly, he says, sadgunaha. Sadguna sampanna means he is endowed with all qualities of a Vaishnava. Fourth quality, he says, sukapradatvam. It gives sukham, which is beyond material enjoyment, beyond liberation, and it gives the beyond the Brahman pleasure also. Beyond that, it gives parama anandam arising from ananya bhakti. That is sukapradatvam. These four qualities happen in the second stage. Kleshagni, Shubhada. This is actually called as the definition for Shubhani. So, this is the definition. Four things are there in a devotee when he goes to second stage. First stage is what? Kleshagni, Shubhada, moksha lagutakrit, sudarlabha, sandrananda visheshatma, krishna akrishnichasa. So in second stage itself he says one will feel this. Can you imagine? A devotee is attractive and he is attracted to serving all the jivas and he has all good qualities and he experiences sukham from bhakti. That sukham comes from ananya bhakti. Four things he says. Which one? Second one is jagatam anuraktata. Anuraktata. Anurakta means attached. In the subsequent verse, he says, I can just show you the verse also. See, prinanam sarva means works for the benefit of. Prinanam sarva means works for benefit of all living entities in the whole world. I can make it bigger for you. Four aspects of Shubhada, you see. Prinanam sarva and jagatam anuraktata, sadgunaha, sukham, four things. He works for the benefit of all living entities of the whole world. And living entities are also attached to him. Adhira jana priyau, jagatam anuraktata. They are attached to him. And he loves all living beings. That's the meaning. Prinanam sarva. And then sadgunaha. He possesses all good qualities and happiness. And these four words are in one shloka which I am going to show you just now below. See, this is the verse. Please repeat this. Shubhadatvam Shubhani Prinanam Sarva Jagatam Anuraktata Sadguna Sukham Iti Sadguna Sukham Ityadini Akhyatani Manishibhi. So these four qualities are given in this verse by Rupa Goswami. And then one more verse he says. See, in Dhruvas also it is said, Yasya prasanno Bhagavan, gunair maitri advihi, sarva tasme namanti bhutani nimnam apayivaswami. That verse says that when Lord is pleased with the devotee, the whole world bows down to such a devotee. It says. And then next verse also is very amazing verse. See this verse. Yenarchito haristena tarpitani jagantyapi rajyanti jantavastatra jangamaha stavara api. See what he is saying. This is the translation. See, he who worships Lord Hari is pleasing to all living entities. And all the inhabitants of the world, both moving and non-moving, are pleasing to him. He is saying. So, yena archito hari, tena tarpitani jagantyapi. All living entities love a person who worships Lord Hari. Rajyanti jantavastatra. He also loves all the jantus. Who? Jangama stavarapi. Beautiful verse, no? So this is from Padma Purana, this verse. It's an amazing verse, this. Like we say, no, yasman no dvijite loko, loka no udvijite chayaha, harsha marsha payodvegar, mukto yastachame priya, like that. So, okay. So these are all the symptoms of ecstatic love for the Lord we read in the 12th verse. Naturally, such a devotee's heart is very soft-hearted. One important point here is he forgot the regulative service to the Lord due to? Because he was a little lazy or what? You know what is this one? Yeah, please see this verse. Please repeat this. Sandhya Vandana Bhadramastu Bhavato Bhosnana Tubhyam Namo Bhodevapitarashchatarpana vidhau Naham kshamakshamyatam Yatrakvapi nishadya yadavakulottamasya. I think I have missed out. Yatrakvapi nishadya yadava. Correct, no? Yadavakulo. Uttamasya, I think it's Sasya is written here. Uttamasya kamsa dvishaha Smaram smaram agam harami tadalam. Manye ki manye name. Please read this.
O my evening prayer, all good unto you. O my morning bath, I bid you goodbye. O demigods and forefathers, please excuse me. I am unable to perform any more offerings for your pleasure. Now I have decided to free myself from all reactions to sins, simply by remembering anywhere and everywhere the great descendant of Yadu and the great enemy of Kamsa, that is Lord Krishna. I think that this is sufficient for me. So what is use of further endeavors?
So who is saying this? Yeah. See, this also is very similar verse. You know, Magdam Mam Negadanta Niti Nipuna. You say, read this also. They go together, these two verses. Yeah.
Let the sharp moralist accuse me of being illusioned. I do not mind. Experts in Vedic activities may slander me as being misled. Friends and relatives may call me frustrated. My brothers may call me a fool. The wealthy Mammonites may point me out as mad. And the learned philosophers may assert that I am too much proud. Still my mind does not budge an inch from the determination to serve the lotus feet of Govinda, though I be unable to do it.
So I am showing this now only so that your mind is prepared for Jada Bharat. Huh? Correct, na? Jada Bharat was in a similar consciousness. Huh? So two verses we saw now. One verse is about Madhendra Puri's inability to perform the three times Sandhya Vandan, morning, afternoon, evening, because he is requesting all the demigods that, you know, I am chanting Krishna's name so continuously that I don't know when is morning, when is night. Is there anybody sitting here who thinks like that? You don't know the difference between morning and night? Huh? Or I am chanting continuously that I forget to eat prasad also. Huh? I don't know when is lunch prasad. Instead of 1:15, I forgot. Now it is 4:20 now. I didn't eat my prasad. Why? I was absorbed in chanting holy name. When you come to that stage, you don't have to do Gayatri three times a day. When you forget your prasad three times a day, huh? Yeah, correct, no? So Madhavendra Puri is in that platform, he is saying. So that is one verse. He is telling, you know, good morning, and he is telling all the three sandhyas and everything to all those demigods. Actually, this is spoken in great ecstasy. Huh? It is spoken that, you know, Krishna has stolen away my heart and I cannot be caught up in my rituals, he says. And the second verse talks about other people, how they respond to your Hare Krishna devotee, or how they may respond to your devotee who has become serious in devotional service. So therefore he is saying, like, sharp moralists accuse me of being illusioned, because some moralists, they will say that, well, look at this fool. Jadabharata was also taunted like that. Huh? Isn't it? Mm-hmm. And people who are karmakandi people, they will say he's misled, he's not doing his, you know, three times rituals a day. They will say, hey, he's misled by Hare Krishnas like that, he will say. And relatives may call him frustrated. Hey, why did he give up everything? And why did he become so renounced? Was there any love failure or something? Or he lost his job or something? They will consider him frustrated and failed. And brothers may call him a fool. Like Jadabharata's brothers also called him a fool. Isn't it? And wealthy Mammonites means those who are absorbed in Maya. They will say, hey, he's not working hard and making money. He's a madman. People will say like that. He loved, you know, he renounced a IT job which was ready to pay him 8 lakhs per annum. Are leaving that money, he is now dancing and chanting Hare Rama Hare Krishna. So people will criticize like that. And some learned philosophers will look at me and say that, hey, he is such a stubborn fellow. We are all saying so much, he is not hearing anyone. He must be too proud. They may be thinking like that. He says, let anybody say whatever they want, he says. My mind does not budge an inch from Krishna's lotus feet. Serving Krishna's lotus feet. Very amazing. So this is a very advanced stage of Madhavendra Puri. So that will come later about Jadabharata. But I just showed you. Now we are, after this 12th verse, he was absorbed in ecstatic love. See, the Bhagavatam always, what it does, whenever you want to talk about Lord's greatness, first the Bhagavatam will talk about the demon's greatness first. How mighty, how powerful and everything. After that you will see that big demon was easily killed by Supreme Lord Narasimha. How mighty Hiranyakashipu is shown. And then when Lord killed Narasimha, killed him, then you know who is Narasimha. That's what Prabhupada said, don't read books about Hitler. Read the book about who killed Hitler. Prabhupada said, how mighty he must be. Hitler killed 10 million people, but God killed him. God killed Hitler, so therefore you should know how mighty he is. Similarly, you will find, whenever Bhagavatam talks any pastime, now here, Bharat Maharaj's exalted position is being presented. You know, you can see here, see what it says. You know, love for Krishna increased more and more, melted his heart. His hairs and body stood on end and ecstatic bodily symptoms. Tears are welling up in his eyes. He's constantly meditating on the reddish lotus feet of the Lord. His heart was filled with water of ecstatic love, he's saying. That means Krishna juice is feeling. He forgot even the... He was so absorbed in that lake. See, any activity, you are too much absorbed in, you love it. Even materially also, you will forget your watch and forget your... You will throw away your watch and forget the lunch box, it is said. Correct, no? In company also, people when they work, sometimes till 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, they continue working, they forget. Material, it's material absorption, isn't it? Similarly, when there is spiritual absorption, then the advantage of spiritual absorption is what? You know, completely material desires vanish. You know, they don't appeal to the mind anymore when spiritual absorption is there. So, it wasn't such a stage. So, we are all warned that even if one has become quiet, exalted and advanced like Dhruva Maharaj or Bharat Maharaj, you know, one should not take Maya very cheaply. So, we will see how Bharat Maharaj was misled from this platform, such a high platform. Read the next one, 13th one.
Maharaj Bharat appeared very beautiful. He had a wealth of curly hair on his head, which was wet from bathing 3 times daily. He dressed in a deer skin. He worshipped Lord Narayan, whose body was composed of golden effulgence, and who resided within the sun. Maharaj Bharat worshipped Lord Narayan by chanting the hymns given in Rig Veda, and he recited the following verse as the sun rose.
Yeah, 1 minute. So I had made this for Krishna Sayanam from the Vidyapitam notes. See here, Bharata's retirement and austerities, this is what we are reading now. See, this is worship of Pulahashrama and the free from material desire, engaged in devotion service. So, see the picture what you are seeing here. See, he worships Lord Narayana by Rig Veda verse. Read it in verse 14.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead is situated in pure goodness. He illuminates the entire universe and bestows all benedictions upon his devotees. The Lord has created this universe from his own spiritual potency. According to his desire, Lord entered this universe as Supersoul, and by virtue of his different potencies, he is maintaining all living entities desiring material enjoyment. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the Lord, who is the giver of intelligence.
Read the purport.
The predominating deity of the sun is another expansion of Narayan, who is illuminating the entire universe. Lord enters the hearts of all living entities as a Supersoul, and he gives them intelligence and fulfills their material desires.
Sarvasachaham, he says. And then below, there is a Rig Veda verse given there. Dhyaya Sada Savitra Mandala Madhyavarti, like that. Narayana Sarasijasana Sannivishtaha. Read the translation.
Narayan sits on his lotus flower within the sun. By reciting this mantra, every living entity should take shelter of Narayan just as the sun rises. According to modern scientists, the material world rests on the sun's effulgence. Due to the sunshine, all planets are rotating and vegetables are growing. We also have information that moonshine helps vegetables and herbs grow. Actually, Narayan within the sun is maintaining the entire universe. Therefore, Narayan should be worshipped by the Gayatri Mantra or Rig Mantra.
Yeah, in the previous verse also, purport if you see, read the purport of previous verse.
The predominating deity within the sun is Hiranyamaya, Lord Narayan. He is worshipped by Gayatri Mantra, Om Bhurbhuva Swaha. Tatse Vetur Varenyam Urva Deva Sedhuam. He is also worshipped by other hymns mentioned in Rig Veda. For instance, Dheya Sada Savitra Mandala Madhya Varti. Within the sun, Lord Narayan is situated and he has a golden hue.
Yeah. So, this Narayan is called Surya Narayana. So, when you do Surya Namaskar, this is the person to whom you bow down. I don't know how many people know it. So, you are bowing down. People mostly center their consciousness around their body only. What happens when I do Surya Namaskar to my body? People think, but actually one should bow down to Lord Narayana. So, that is the picture which is shown here, if you see. Bharat sitting and meditating on Surya Narayana. And offering this prayer, praying this prayer. So we are going to the next chapter after we come back. Shri Prabhupada ki.